Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, folks, to Hamp's Corner of America, a corner where your host, Codis Hampton II, hangs out with notable guests, discussing topics of interest to you and yours. Milwaukee's 13th and Juno is where our host grew up, where his creativity and his imagination originated. Hamp's Corner of America is where we discuss, debate, and innovate. In the end, we will all leave with a sense of purpose. Come on, hang out with us. And now your host, Codis Hampton II.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Hamp. Here at the corner, we're pleased that you're taking the time to check us out. We are old school here, without disregarding the contributions of hip-hop to our current state of being. You will find that we often refer back to our past, as we do believe that if you do not know where you came from, you most certainly will not get to where you want to go. It is our hope that you will hang with us and our guest of the hour and even contribute to the discussion so that we may leave here having gained or at the very least enhanced our perspective on the topics of today. And by all means, have fun while doing so. Without further ado, let's get deep into it.
All right. Hello, 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 folks. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you're taking the time to join us. This program is brought to you by Hamp's Corner of America parent company, the Chia Group. You can check us out at www.chia.com, where you will also find how to order my latest book entitled Gracie Hall Hampton, The Arkansas Years, 1917 to 1953. You can also find my blogs on a regular basis at www.katara-rhythm.com. That's katara-rhythm.com. And now, for our special guest, she is a director, along with co-director Jay Blunk, I hope I pronounced that right, and producer of My Nappy Roots, A Journey Through Black Heritage. This 2008 American documentary film has been hailed as the definitive story of black hair. We are pleased to have Miss Regina Kimball as our special guest, or Reggie, as she is called. Hello, Reggie. How are you doing this evening?
Hello. Hello. Thank you so much for Codis. I really appreciate the this opportunity to come on your radio show and to talk about all the things black hair or Afro hair. And one thing I wanted to say, you mentioned in your opening about honoring their ancestors.
Yes.
And I think that is so important and so necessary, especially for us. You know, we still should be asking for permission. We should be asking for blessings. So I was just really, you know, glad to hear that. So I'm with you on that 100%.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We really, you know, as you say, we have to go back to our history to find out who we are, because there's a lot of our people running around trying to say, who are we, and all this stuff. So
right.
We wanted to look backwards to find out how to go forward. Yeah,
that's right.
Well, my first question is pretty predictable, and let me ask anyway, what led you to make the documentary in the first place? And when I say you, I know there are other people involved, and I want people to understand that, so we're not just talking about you, but you are the lead voice, so to speak.
What led me to make My Nappy Roots? Well, there's, you're right. There are a lot of other people involved. there was a lot of inspiration, but I'll go back to the roots of it. The inspiration was actually my daughter. My daughter was the creator of My Nappy Roots. It started out as a 5-minute film for the NAACP when she was 16 years old, dealing with, you know, her own situation with black hair and identity. As a matter of fact, I'm not even sure if she's going to call in. She may even call in. If so, I would love for her to come in and talk about this as well. So this show is going to be like My Nappy Roots and Friends. So we may have a few people calling in and being a part of the show. Is that okay?
Oh, no problem. We've got somebody on the line now, and I'm going to try to get them in here as soon as I can. But I just did want you to start off with it.
Okay. All right. So as I said, it started out as a 5-minute piece for the NAACP, and she was dealing with her own issues of her black hair and her identity. She was going through, this thing in high school, when young people were really dealing with their identity, and so she had changed her hair, into a natural style, into locks. Oh, excuse me a second. Okay, she had changed her hair into locks, and what happened is her friends that were non-black really liked her hair. They liked the natural hair. Her friends who were African-American, didn't understand why she made that change. And so it started this whole conversation of what is it about us being free to be who we are, about us embracing our own identity. So that was the start of it. From that 5-minute film, it just literally exploded. I didn't realize that so many people were so passionate about it. I'm sorry, I thought you were saying something. I didn't realize that when it started, we literally would call one person, and from that we would get five other people to call. And at the time that we started the film, there were no books. All these natural hair books were not on the market yet. There were a few books, There was Hair Story, so I have to acknowledge that. And there was also 400 Years Without a Comb. So there were a few stories that have been told, but not like it is today.
Okay. All right, I'm going to bring in the caller on the line, and I don't know who she is or who they are, but I believe I have them on the line now. Are you on the line now, caller?
Hi, yes, this is Brighton, Regina's daughter, Reggie's daughter.
Oh, well, good, because she's been calling for you. you can tell
her
how important you are to the project, because she's been calling your name already. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I wanted Brighton to just talk a little bit about that, but that initial spark and that initial inspiration that led me to go much further into the documentary.
Yes, so the beginning of the film, to be honest, it really was like a family project. I would say it was mother, daughter, and I think that some of, our best work is always together, or at least my best work is with my mother and having, the generations involved together. A lot of what it had to do with was empowerment, and, I didn't even know that word when I was in high school. But now, as somebody, actually my job description involves, youth empowerment. And it was just me as a youth trying to find my way of voicing my own concerns about blackness and race and trying to understand culture and heritage and my own lineage. A lot of the history and the research, the historical research that we did and the interviews, it was just me trying to kind of come to an understanding of myself as an individual, but I had no idea that, my mother would take this on to become something that was like a cultural, institution where now it's, My Nappy Roots and Black Heritage, and it's something that's happening all over the world right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it has impressed a whole lot of people, and more importantly, It has shown a race of people how important the subject is, really.
Yes, definitely. And I love that it's just so popular now, you know, and that it's a conversation that I even have on a daily basis about my hair, and it's so great to have that conversation.
Okay. Well, let me ask Reggie a question here, or maybe Brighton, you know, but either one. How long did it take you to do the research and actually when you decided to do the documentary and other preparations to get the film made? So, I mean, from the general idea, was that 7 months or a year or, you know, give me some kind of time span here. It took you to take it from a Brighton's original idea into a full film documentary.
Well, there were several iterations of it. When we initially started the film as an NAACP competition film, we literally had maybe several weeks to pull together like a 5-minute film for the competition. So with that, the timing was perfect. You know, I'm a filmmaker, and at that time I had, you know, at that particular time, there was time that I had to go downtown and do research. Literally, the research started with, you know, making calls to, you know, our own stylists. You know, we just started there, right there in the home, right in our community. And then then the research went into the library and looking at, you know, identity and starting to look at Africa and understanding the power and the language and, you know, just understanding what, you know, black hair meant to the different cultures. But the initial piece was about 3-week turnaround. That film dealt with the more the cultural identity of hair and also talked a little bit, I think, about the 40s. I think we went to, like, the 1940s, and then we kind of got out of it. You know, it was a really short piece. But from that, the film went to a 22-minute version, which I think from the 5-minute to the 22-minute version was probably about a year, you know, and that 22-minute is what I consider to be an educational piece that's great for, like, classrooms or short screenings. That particular piece deals with, again, the focus is more on the identity, and it also talks about Africa, the language and the pride and the understanding what hair means to African culture, and it also speaks to, it goes into the Middle Passage. And so with the Middle Passage, we explore sort of the meaning of where we think the whole term of good hair, bad hair, you know, that whole, you know, where that came from, even the word nappy. So the 22-minute version dealt with that. And then something happened about a year into it. All of a sudden, the business story started to emerge. So the film just kind of like flowered. It just emerged from one, you know, one thought to the other, and all of a sudden I saw this tremendous business story that no one had touched. I mean, the black hair industry is an industry that we created, you know, from our front porch, from our kitchens, and it's an industry that no one was interested in until the other cultures realized that there was money that can be made from it. So it took me about a year or more before I even just really started to understand just the business story. A lot of these ethnic hair care leaders are still with us today. They all have stories. They all should be features, like George Johnson of Johnson Products, Ed Gardner of Soft Sheen Carson, Nathaniel Bronner, you know, and, you know, the family legacy of Bernard Bronner and the Bronner brothers. So we were able to get interviews with a lot of these, you know, with the CEOs, and I started to look at the, you know, the leadership and who I think created the black hair industry as it is today. So the film, My Nappy Roots, actually focuses on 4 different leaders. Annie Turnbull Malone, which was the mentor of Madam C.J. Walker, okay? And we also focus on Madam C.J. Walker, which everybody knows that name, first woman millionaire, brilliant innovator, as was Annie Turnbull Malone as well. Annie Turnbull Malone was in St. Louis area. Madam C.J. Walker, you know, started in St. Louis and then went to Indianapolis and, of course, New York. And with her innovation of her marketing techniques, her techniques of marketing were probably the precursor for those, for the Mary Kays and the Amway type of marketing. The other two people that we focused on the feature length was Mr. George Johnson and Ed Gardner, and there are many, many, many others. So the film is really just a touchstone for really just opening up the conversation of black hair and exactly what the industry is. It touches on the identity. It touches on the hairstyles and, you know, the Africa tux, and it has a really powerful economic story in the feature. So the feature is, at this point, it's about 80 minutes, but I have about 200 hours of footage. So it easily can be, you know, a mini-series. And so in terms of, you know, the research, you know, it's another story of an independent filmmaker, you know, realizing that we need to go out and to tell our own stories, because our stories are not going to be told in the way that they need to be told. So our stories need to be told from our perspective. So from the beginning of the film to now, Brighton was 16 at that point, and I think Brighton is almost 14 years now since the whole inception of the film.
Well, she had to step away, you know, young folk. We got stuff to do, you know.
Right,
you know,
that's
so,
okay.
She
shared what she needed to share.
Exactly. She said, "Mom, I did it. I'm out."
Yeah, right. but that was a lot of information. I hope I answered the question for you.
Oh, no. That was great. I wanted to ask, we can assume demand, but what other factors prompted the screening of the film to international audiences?
Okay, well, yes, demand, I would say that. But the real details of that, what I think, is in 2009, we were in a very public lawsuit with Chris Rock over good hair. And that's no, I mean, it's on the internet, so that's no secret. And so we actually lost that case in a federal court of law. It was close. But we did lose. But what the blessing in it, because I never, you know, I think every challenge, there's a reason. It's making us stronger for something else. So the blessing in that whole situation is that I think it took someone like Chris Rock or a celebrity to really bring awareness to black hair and what it means to us. And I think like 6 months before, you know, the Don Imus situation had occurred when he used the word nappy. So there was already, you know, people start, you know, wondering and like, well, what's the big deal with black hair? It's just hair, you know. And if it was just hair, then there would be no story, you know. But, you know, for us, when we're talking about Afro-textured hair, you know, and even the term Afro directly relates to our culture, where we're from, you know. So just that brings in, you know, the whole thing. So it is political hair for us. So that's what I think helped to bring, you know, for people to know about the film was after that Chris Rock lawsuit over good hair. And after that, we went to start going into an international audience. We went over to London, and we started selling out theaters there. You know, we played to several sold out of theaters, and as well as in Hamburg, you know, and in some of the other places. So I, after I started traveling internationally with the film, you know, I realized just the power, and even understood even more so the connection of black hair worldwide, you know, and I understood that there was an issue, and it was kind of interesting because the way I looked at it first was, okay, I understand that we had the Middle Passage and, you know, we had the slavery and the racism here, but why are these other continents, you know, having the same issue? Why, you know, why do they feel less empowered, you know, through their natural nappy hair? So the dialogue started to open up internationally, and mm-hmm. I created a movement called International Black Heritage, where I partner with, we have ambassadors in the UK, mostly in London, have ambassadors in Germany, and we started a month called International Black Heritage Month, which is the month of October, and that was in 2011. And we started, our first event was a series of events. It was a film, like a film series, you know, with a panel of some of the top MPAs there. Mm-hmm. And we had workshops, and they were very well received. And that was the start of the International Black Heritage Movement.
Okay. Well, we're going to give you a little break here because I know you've been giving us some good information. I want to talk about the My Nappy Roots soundtrack, and I understand it's Wendell Kimball is your husband. Is that right?
Right, he sure is.
And can you tell us a little bit about how that CD came about before I play a cut from it?
Okay, sure. Well, Wendell Kimball is a musician. He is a composer. He's mm-hmm. actually has his own history in itself, as he was a performer with Sound Barrier and Total Eclipse, which was the first all rock band. Mm-hmm. Did I say that right? Black rock band. That's all black. Okay. Mm-hmm. So with the film, I'm gonna have to have him. I think he's gonna call in and talk too. But maybe he can call in after the mm-hmm. the first track. But it was kind of an interesting because we had so much time. You know, I'm talking about like 400 years or 500 years of the film, so we wanted to give it with different sounds. But mm-hmm. we started some of the interviews. While I was doing the interviews, I would come across some spoken word artists, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is great, and everybody wants to share their passion for black hair. So I started recording some spoken word pieces from some of my interviews. And then that was sort of the initial idea was to create like a spoken word soundtrack, you know. So that was sort of the birth of that, you know, in addition to the music that he created.
Okay. So I'm going to play the first selection from the soundtrack. It's entitled My Nappy Roots, which is the theme. So it'll give you time to collect yourself. Here we go.
All right.
Oh,
have when you have Wendell.
Go ahead.
I said you have Wendell on the phone too, who is the composer of the soundtrack.
Okay. Did you would you have him add something about the soundtrack for us, please?
Oh, sure.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
All right. How you doing, Wendell?
All right.
So
who am I talking to?
My name is Codis Hampton II, and you know, your wife Reggie has been so gracious to have us come into your house and interview you guys about the documentary that she did. So,
all right.
And I was playing cuts from your soundtrack. So, the question was, is that how did you go about putting together the soundtrack that for My Nappy Roots?
Well, I mean, we took a couple of excerpts, songs from that were made for the film. The film kind of like brought it on to where, you know, some of the songs were actually written with the film in mind, like that one, My Nappy Roots. And then there's a couple other songs that we happened to run into artists who had spoken word ideas that lended itself to the project. So I wrote some music behind that, took their audio and created music behind their, you know, to go along with their poetry. So some of that is that, and some was written, you know, specifically for the film. And like I said, it's really a conglomerate of different ideas from different artists. You might find maybe four different artists on that soundtrack, and then so all of it's original music from me, though.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a tremendous job. I know I end up, you know, I was listening to it the other day again, and I was just, you know, it's impressive, no doubt about that. I understand that you came from
that.
A musical background anyway, so can you give me a little background of your resume, so to speak?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I started playing about 9 years old, you know, went on through college playing trumpet. Went to Texas Southern University. And I had a couple of bands along the way. I had one with Gerald Albright in the early days. I met Kurt Whalen at Texas Southern. After Texas Southern, I started, that was crazy. He was killing then. But, he was a monster. But I started an all black rock band called Sound Barrier in the 80s. We were the first all-black rock band to be signed to a major label.
Oh, okay.
So I did that, like five CDs, five albums. And, you know, so now I just write and produce. I have done commercials. I've got things on Fox Sports right now that plays certain songs. They play Fox Sports. And looking for the next thing right now, trying to get into independent films, you know.
Okay. Yep. Well, it sounds like you guys got a busy agenda in the future, too.
Well, we hope so, because, I mean, she's kind of, you know, really in tune with the documentaries. That seems to be her forte, and whatever I can do to help, that's what I'll do.
Hey, that's what we do. We're there to assist just like they are there for us. So,
husband
and wife team is the best thing in the world, right?
As they say.
That's right. All right, well, let me get Reggie back here, and I want to ask her a question about that. And I know this documentary has garnered quite a few awards, but could you give us some examples of the type of awards that you won?
Okay, let's see. We actually started winning awards from the very first five-minute film that we created with the NAACP. It won, I think, a couple of medals as a five-minute piece. Then we went on to, we actually won the Hollywood Black Film Festival. We won the New York Women in Film Award, the Pan-African Film Festival. We won Best mm-hmm. Documentary, and I think it was the Audience Choice Award as well. So, to be honest, we also won the FESPACO Film Festival. That's in Burkina Faso, Africa. Mm-hmm. We won an award there as well. So the majority of the film festivals that we participated in, we actually placed in some way. Mm-hmm. We did a few film festivals. If you're a filmmaker or you're listening and you know about film festivals can get a little bit expensive because you have to do submissions, you have to attend, you have to go. So we only did a few film festivals, and then we actually started the universities, started to reach out. So we, have gone to quite a few universities all over the country, from mm-hmm. New York to Florida to San Francisco and the Midwest. Mm-hmm. And we've shown the film and have talks and panels. So we've been around. We just now, funny enough, just now starting to, probably hit some of the hair shows. So even mm-hmm. though the film has been out for several years, the feature version of the film, mm-hmm. there's still a lot of people that don't know about the film. Okay. And I do think it's like a historic document. When you hear My Nappy Roots, and for the most part, people think, oh, it's a film that women want to see. It's a film about women. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. when you go in the theater, so many men come out of the film, or young people in other cultures, but particularly the men were like, they learned a lot. There was a lot of history, a lot of historic value in the film. So it's by no means just a women's piece.
Okay, all right. I've got another caller here, and I believe this might be, let me let him say who he is. Caller, would you announce yourself, please? Is it Sam?
Okay.
You might have stepped. Sam? You might have stepped away.
I'm sorry. I had my mute on. This is Keenan from Bob. I'm sorry.
No, that's my fault, Sam. No, that's my fault, because you were sitting there waiting for quite a while there.
I just called in. I just called in the last 5 minutes. I'm cool.
Oh, okay.
It's all good.
Okay.
Okay.
So, but
yeah.
I did have a question of you and Reggie, because we have seen this documentary. It's a documentary about the Korean attempt to take over the $6 billion black hair industry. What is your take on that? Is that in your background there, Sam, or is that...
We started the video, really, basically. Aaron Raymond, who's the one that produced the video, and he actually, when we started BOPSA, he mm-hmm. came on board and just actually followed us around the country, where we're trying to organize the black hair care. Yeah, we're in the film. It was made actually for BOPSA. BOPSA is the one that really... pushed it out there, because we took it to another level.
Okay.
Now he's talking about the Black Hair documentary.
He's right talking about Black Hair, the Black Hair DVD, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
Yeah, the one where they're specifically talking about the Koreans' attempt to take over the industry.
That's the one. That's the one. That's the
okay.
Black Hair DVD by Aaron Raymond. Yeah, right. And it's
so
on our website. Pardon me?
So what do you think about that? What is your take on it? And I know, as you said, there's a documentary, and people should watch it. But I guess my question is how do small businesses combat something like that? Or do you have any ideas on it?
Well, yeah, BOPSA has been around since 2004, and that's
mm-hmm.
when the DVD came out. And we have taken steps to try and correct it, but you're talking about 40 years of domination mm-hmm. By the Koreans in the hair care industry, so it's not going to happen overnight, and it's just mm-hmm. really been very difficult trying to get people, black folks, to come together as one unit.
Mm-hmm.
to fight this. And then now we have a new generation. When that came out, that was an older generation. Now it's a new generation, and they don't even have a clue. I mean, we have a group that constantly joined BOPSA, individuals joining BOPSA, and they joined BOPSA because of their DVD, because they claimed that they didn't know this was going on, you know. So there's a history with the youth, you know, of a black hair care industry.
Okay. And the acronym that you just gave, BOPSA, is that it?
Yeah, it's Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association, BOPSA. And we have a website. It's BOPSA.org.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, BOPSA.org.
Okay. All right.
And early in the life of my nephew Ruth is when I first met Sam.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, there was a movement. Sam is also in My Nappy Roots. And it was interesting, even in terms of, trying to get some of the.
Sam?
Sam?
Yeah. Do you have something on there? Because I hear echo.
Oh, no, I don't have anything on. In fact, I'm in a father room. There's nothing on at all. But my phone recently has been echoing. It's my cell phone I'm on.
Oh, okay, okay. And that's probably it. Go ahead, Reggie. I'm sorry for breaking up.
When we talk about, the Korean takeover and, that's a conversation that... that has been going on for a number of years, like Sam says. On some levels, definitely the Koreans came into our industry, but black hair, offers a large, large pie. So there are certain things that we should have done, and there are things that I think we still can do, to make sure that we get our businesses back into, a part of the ethnic hair care industry, so there's a lot that we can do. Some of us, I think we gave it away.
Okay.
Yeah, well, in fact, we did. We did. There's a lot of things that we're doing now. Like I said, we've been around for going on 11 years, and we have, 5,000 members plus. It always fluctuates. Mm-hmm. But we helped open up 150 stores all over the country. We're not just in Northern California or California. We're national and international, and we constantly trying to educate the black consumer, and that's the key, educating the black consumer about what companies are black and what companies are not, and trying to get the black consumers to look for products that are made by black manufacturers.
Yeah.
But the problem is that there's just like 8,000 Korean stores, and they control the distribution. And it's kind of difficult for these young entrepreneurs that are making products. Now the natural hairstyles will come in and trying to get those products on the shelf. So thank God for, the social media platforms, which gives the youth and the entrepreneurs an opportunity to sell their products directly to the consumer.
And people can certainly get that information from you. You want to give your website again? The organization?
Yeah, it's BOPSA, Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association. The web address is www.bobsa.org, O-R-G.
Okay.
I'm sorry, they can, see our website. There's a lot of information on there. We put out a newsletter once a month. If they want a newsletter, they can sign up for the newsletter as well.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks. I appreciate that, Sam. I'm going to put your guys on hold a minute and play a cut called I Am a Weave from the soundtrack and give us all a break here, okay?
All right,
hold
thank
on.
You, Sam.
I fool even the most critical eye. I command attention as I go by. Even the most skeptical want to try. No one can
Okay, Reggie. I believe we have another caller here at the 213 area code. I think she just went away. Well, Sherry, let me ask this question. Just a moment. I think we got her. Hey, it's live radio. What can I tell you? Hello, Shalina.
Hello,
Shalina?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah. Now I can hear you.
Okay.
So could you give us your name and what you have to do with the project, please?
I can hear you.
Yeah, there's a bad echo that I hear.
Yeah. Can you hear me? Hold on a minute. Let me see. Can I?
I can hear you.
Fix it. Oh, you can hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Could you tell us what you have to do with the project and, you know, how you helped to get this My Nappy Roots documentary on the road?
Yes, I can.
The big help.
Initially, Regina called me. I was on the road with traveling with, I think, Sierra or Brandy or one of the artists. And I use a lot of my celebrity influences to and my relationships to aid in adding to the documentary and getting her some, some stories and some perspectives coming from the celebrity artists and actresses. So, yes, I collectively gave her a list of celebrities to call, and we got Vivica to narrate it, which was very lovely for her to do that. And we hosted some of the sessions and interviews in my salon in Beverly Hills, my former salon in Beverly Hills. And basically that was it. I mean, I was able to influence them to be a part of it. It made it very, very nice in addition to the celebrity hairstylists and a lot of icons and mentors that I have in the business. You know, they were my mentors that she had already on the panel. So, yes,
okay,
it was nice.
Yeah.
Can I give you a little backstory?
Go ahead.
I want to give a little backstory on that. This kind of goes into the whole idea of independent filmmaking. So at this point, I'm probably like a couple of years into the film at least, right? And, you know, go out to, like independent filmmakers do. You go out, you want to get your film distributed. And I think I have a film that has information that's worth being distributed. So when I go out to some of the meetings, I was told that who wants to see a film, you know, on black women's hair? And I went to several distribution companies. And then finally one person said, well, go get some celebrities. It's kind of like, you know, bring me a celebrity back and maybe we can talk. So so that actually made a lot of sense to me. And so the idea of getting some celebrities involved was to get some of their personal hair stories. The film, the approach with the film is sort of an interesting documentary because black hair is so personal and so people so passionate about it. You know, not only do we have the historic information, but we have a lot of personal hair stories that give a lot of depth and gives a lot of humor to the film. So it's a very entertaining film. So the first celebrity I reached out to was Whoopi Goldberg. And I had just worked with Whoopi on another project that I was shooting, like literally maybe a month before. And so when I reached out to her, she was really cool. We had a great, you know, she was very down to earth. I'm like, okay, I know that she'll get this as a black woman. And she had that whole bit she did in her early years with the mop or the shirt over her head. So I'm like, oh, she's going to get it, right? So I called her to her company. And, you know, our company, I think they were Jewish, but they came back to me so quickly and said, oh, no, she said she doesn't want to do it, that I really didn't know if she really saw it or not. So I started thinking, I said, well, how do you get to celebrities? And then I'm like, okay, well, every celebrity has a hairstylist, you know. So we're used to walking in the back door. So basically I said, okay, there's a back door. The back door is going to a hairstylist. So and I'm not sure how I first met Shalina, but Shalina is like one of the hot celebrity stylists, you know, out here in Los Angeles. She's you know, working with a number of different people. And so we met. Charlena understood the documentary. She felt it, and she just kind of opened up. She opened up her salon to me. She opened up her relationships. And this is all when we were just starting to know each other, you know. So she, you know, actually came on as a helping to bring those relationships, you know, brought her on the film as a producer, because that's what a producer and what associate producers do. They help the filmmaker, help the producer to move the film along. So she became an integral part of the film and opened up her contacts and her book, and that was how we were able to get probably the majority of the celebrities that are on the film. You know, we have Jamal Warner, and we have a list of Ananda Lewis, Vivica
Fox. One of my favorites, Layla Hathaway.
Layla Hathaway, Patti LaBelle, you know, which is another funny story when I was shooting her. So we have a number of celebrities. So through other celebrity stylists that she introduced me to, or through her own personal clients, you know, we were able to amass like a great cast in My Nappy Roots.
Now, Charlena, tell me, you're not doing Malcolm Jamal Warner's here, are you?
No, sir.
Oh, okay.
No, he's never been my client, though.
Oh, okay.
Lennox Lewis, a lot of rap artists, 50 Cent, you know, those kind of guys. But no, not Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Okay, all right. Well, let me ask you both a stupid question because that's my job. I should just say an obvious question. It's not really a stupid question, but since the film was made back in 2008, do you think it's relevant today?
Yes, it is. It's timeless.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what's been really amazing to me, Kodish. I mean, I have to tell you, and I've had this conversation with a number of filmmakers. You know, a lot of times when you make a narrative film, you know, you spend so many years getting the film green light lit, or I mean, just like Gina's talking about with the film that's out right now, Beyond the Lights, I believe is the name of it. She talked about having that script like years ago. You know, everyone told her no, then she probably doubled back and finally got that one yes. But, you know, as a filmmaker, a lot of times we have these projects, and they take so many years to make. I lost my train of thought there just that quick.
No, they make some. They take so long to make. And then
a long time to make. And what happens is that, you know, once you get the film, once you hit the film festival circuit, or you maybe even, you know, lucky enough, that's like getting in the NBA, you know, to get a theatrical release, even if it's a limited amount of screens, even if film does really well, gets a buzz, generally at most, the films are out there for 2 to 3 years, and then, you know, they kind of run their life of the film. You know, even with major films, I mean, now they go to Redbox or they go and then the film kind of dies out. But there are certain films that remain relevant, you know. You know, I'm talking about like major motion films. But there's something about My Nappy Roots that has stayed relevant. And it's because, you know, the black hair industry, the ethnic hair care industry is constantly evolving. You know, and it's always going to be a part of our culture. And there's so many things that are tied in through our hair. And that's what the different companies that have been created all sort of come out of that, you know, that whole thread of black hair. As I said, you can talk about identity. You can talk about economic and community. You know, you can talk about health and wellness. You have all these different issues that come out of hair, and I think that's one of the reasons it's kept it relevant. But the natural hair industry, because the word nappy and My Nappy Roots and it being a historic film, and now that the natural hair movement has really taken hold, I think still has
not...
Yeah,
it helps us to embrace our hair now.
Right, and I don't still think it's reached a peak. And the other thing is I think the natural hair movement, along with the whole idea of social media and technology, has moved it into a whole nother level right now. It used to be, and I had this conversation in London. I know Charlena's over there a whole lot too, but it used to be that the people in London would say that, man, we felt like we were like a year and a half behind you, or we were 6 months behind. But now with social media, you know, it's so, everything is so instant. I mean, on a lot of levels, I almost feel like they're ahead of us in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I feel like the UK is ahead of us, has been ahead, at least 2 years ahead of us, not, and that's over 20 years.
Exactly.
That's interesting.
Exactly.
I believe we have another lady, maybe a Patricia Simmons on the line. I'm going to bring her in, okay? I think the problem with our echo, Reggie, was my man Sam was on his cell phone, and I think that's where we had the problem there. So I put him on mute.
Oh, okay.
That's why you don't hear it anymore. But let me bring
her. Okay,
yeah, okay. Is this Patricia Simmons? Patrice?
This is Gwen Allen.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, Gwen.
Okay.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. You want to introduce yourself and tell us what you had to do with the, did with this project?
Well, I'm on the Nappy Wood project with Regina Kimball. We're partners in bringing the National Hair Expo to Los Angeles. And my background is 28 years in the black hair care industry as a regional manager, distributor, just the whole entire West Coast pretty much, and dealing with professional salons and stylists and students, beauty students. So that's my background pretty much. And so my what I bring to the table is bridging the gap between the new, I would say, evolution of black hair with this natural hair phenomenon that's happening with consumers and the lack thereof as it works in with the salons. The salons have really embraced it as much because they're still making money doing hair weaves and relaxers and so on and so forth. So basically this new phenomenon, what we're hoping to do is to bridge the gap between the professionals and with this whole natural hair care movement so they can see where they can be instrumental in helping people transition. Say, for instance, somebody wants to stop getting relaxers or stop getting whatever, a weave or whatever, they can have that professional to analyze their hair and recommend certain products for their hair to go and make that transition. Because that's where the breakdown is, you know, it's... Where do I go if, in fact, or what do I do with my hair if, in fact, I don't want to put relaxers on it anymore? And most professionals, they've been trained to take texture out and not necessarily been trained to keep it in and to enhance it. And so now with this new movement, consumers are basically learning a lot of this stuff online, you know, on YouTube. And so... My issue is to bring to the table educators like, you know, Charlena and all the other companies that we have on our show, Design Essential and Luster and Miss Jessie's, all these companies, to bring education to the forefront, not only for the consumer, but for the professional as well.
Okay. All right. And you are listed as a co-founder of the Nappy Wood Weekend, right, which we hadn't really brought up, but I would like for you to expound on it since we have brought it up now.
Well, let me back up a little bit. When you know, we talked about International Black Heritage, and that started in 2011. So International Black Heritage was a movement that was really energized, really in Europe, you know, in Germany, Paris, Geneva, very energized in a number of cities in UK. So when the opportunity came in 2013 to do the Los Angeles Natural Hair Care and Natural Hair and Wellness Expo, Gwen and I are the founders of the Los Angeles Natural Hair Expo, and Nappy Wood was sort of that first USA event that sort of came out of the International Black Heritage. And and so Gwen and also Patrice, you know, are co-founders or founders of the Nappy Wood Weekend. So the Nappy Wood Weekend supports and, you know, we bring in the expo, but the Nappy Wood is essentially a community movement that's taking place in Los Angeles. We do a number of different events. Last year, I think we had 5 days of different events in various venues around Los Angeles. We have a whole empowerment summit, because the thing about Nappy Wood is dealing with the community. So again, you know, hair being at the root of everything, we use hair as a thread to now talk about having been an entrepreneur. How do you empower yourself as an entrepreneur? How do you, you know, empower yourself with, you know, healthy habits and nutrition and healthy hair care? And like Gwen was talking about, you know, we need to educate even the consumers and the bloggers, you know, with professionals. We need to bridge that gap so the information that's going out is correct information, you know. We have a lot of consumers have a lot of faith in the bloggers, and we want to make sure that they understand the true science of black hair. So we deal with the science of black hair. We have, you know, some of the top black hair inventors that are involved with Nappy Wood, which is Cheryl and Dr. Morrow, are integral parts of our science of, you know, a science conference and classes and academy that we're doing. So so Nappy Wood is, you know, and we have, of course, we have the film series because, you know, that was sort of at the root of everything. So we kind of use film, arts, you know, community. We want people to know that they need to feel empowered. But everything, it's the conversation's all through black hair. And then we have this large expo during Nappy Wood Weekend where we have the hair shows and Shalina was actually featured last year in our closing hair show, which was really, it was, what was it called? The ancestral, what was it called?
It was the, the
couture.
Tribal couture.
Tribal
couture.
Amazing hair and fashion show.
The title was, she gave me Tribal Couture, so I had to live up to the standard. And the vision that came to me was taking natural hair that I had already been doing that, been a natural hairstylist all my life. But a lot of people don't know that because I stepped into extensions. So what I've done is I incorporated extensions and with braids and creating twists and extension locks and things of that nature. And made it more tribal with feathers and chains and all kinds of things.
So just think high fashion couture and natural hair. And in 2015, it's gonna even hit the next level. So it's like a fashion week of black hair. You know, using the outfits, the hair, the makeup. It's a whole another level of natural hair.
And we also were featuring fashion designers, black local fashion designers in Los Angeles and from the East Coast that were a part of the Tribal Couture. So it's just taking everything to the next level, showing us in different lights, showing what we have to offer across the board, you know, in fashion and hair and makeup. So it's not just, you know, a hair show, but when you come to our event, you know, you're fully engaged to be empowered on all different levels. I've even seen people whose lives are being transformed because they've never witnessed anything quite like this. You know, women have come out of their weeds. They've come out of, they wanted to do it but didn't know how, and now this platform to really have that strength and that encouragement to make it happen. So it's an experience that you just don't want to miss, and you definitely want to tell your sisters and brothers. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of men come and see their natural hair and loving themselves and falling and having them fall deeper in love with black women with their own natural hair, with their own natural texture.
Are you saying deeper in love? I don't think I can take it. You know, I'm already, you know, I don't think I can take it. Let's put it like that. But I believe this affair, Nappywood Weekend, was last held in August of this year, right?
Yes, it's the first weekend of August.
Okay, so then you guys are also planning one for 2015. That's the one you're talking about now.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right.
First weekend of August in 2015.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to take a break here and let everybody collect themselves a minute, and I'm going to play my first time from the Nappy Roots soundtrack. So just hold on, ladies. Thank you.
Okay.
First time I was in between a girl's legs was when I got my hair braided. I remember hustling to get it done too, back when it was shoulder length. Plus it was a way to talk to a girl when I didn't yet have the strength. Yeah, I remember them after school braiding sessions turned love sessions on the football field bleachers. I remember the comfort of sitting between my girl's legs and feeling her part and comb through my nappy hair, and even though it hurt, it felt good. So I guess I could say it hurt so good. The perfect illustration of pain and love, because I knew that it was love emitting from her fingertips and weaved into each and every braid. And after that was just another day, closer and closer to getting them braided again. I remember being scared to swim for fear that my braids might get loose before their time. I've seen brothers and sisters who have gotten lost before their time, not realizing that like the fro I used to rock, we as a black people have been picked out, chosen to endure and stand for something. Why else do you think that our hair naturally stands up while everyone else's lies down? Communities, and we fashion them chemicals into crowns and put them into our hair. We end up also laying down. I urge our people to be proud of who we are, find happiness in our nappiness, love ourselves, love our culture, and love our hair. That's real.
Falling in love and black men getting attracted to our black women. I'm going to ask, I believe maybe Gwen can answer, where can a black woman get an assortment of ideas for natural black hairstyles today?
Are you asking? Who are you asking?
Gwen.
Oh, Gwen? Is she on the line?
Charlena, you can handle that one.
Okay, what's your question, sir? I'm sorry.
Well, I'm trying to get in our listeners' heads out there, and maybe they might want to know some place, or maybe you guys can provide a website or something where they can get an assortment of ideas for natural black hairstyles.
There are several websites, like personal websites that stylists have built on their own, but where the big, huge variety of demonstrations are is on YouTube. And
oh,
if you you can search the engine for anything, any questions you may have, you can search the engine for that.
Oh, so you just just put black hair in the search engine and go for yourself.
You could put in long black braids. You could put in blonde hair. They have a website called Pinterest. P-I-N-T-E-R-E-S-T. It's a it's a social media blog. When I was actually working with the Nappywood hair conference, I was looked up tribal couture styles, and I got a lot of my inspiration from there. Everything under tribal couture comes up. Hair, clothes, necklaces, everything. But if you would look up tribal couture hair, tribal couture jewelry, tribal couture wardrobe, it all comes up. And it comes up on that site called Pinterest.
Well, as they say,
In the midnight hour, I looked it up. And I was able to be inspired by many different styles on there,
Well, as they say, for the internet browser, the search engine is a friend.
Yes, it is.
I know that, and this is for Reggie, I know that that there were a site called International Black Heritage Month, but I think it's somewhat in transition now, isn't it, Reggie? Because I noticed that it's also on Facebook. Could you want to do you want to expand on that? And because obviously the month I believe was in October, and we're trying to get into
Well, actually, you know what? I actually made a change with the name, but if you put in International Black Heritage Month, it should still go to the site, and that's spelled H-A-I-R, just so everybody knows. So Heritage, H-A-I-R-I-T-A-G-E. But I took month off, and if you put in internationalblackheritage.com, you should be able to get to the site. We have nappywood.com is coming. That should be up probably in early 2015. But we do have the site for the expo, which is LA Natural Hair Care Expo.com. And I'll say that again because it's a long one. But it's LA Natural Hair Care Expo.com. So that site is live, and that's probably the best site right now to really give you a feel of what Nappywood is all about. We have a lot of photos up there. We're going to be putting up some new information, you know, moving into 2015. And we have something that's new, kind of hot off the press, that I'll go ahead and announce it. You know, we're going to do the first Nappywood golf tournament this year. So I know golf is like a hot sport. So, and one of the venues that we're looking at is very close to a golf course, and it's a beautiful golf course. So you know,
is
we're
that
looking
in
at
LA too?
That is in LA, and it should prop should be very close to the venue. One of the things that we're trying to do is to, you know, we want to stay in the community. We want to be a part of the community. You know, I don't want to go, 30 miles out and go into a hotel. I want to be in the community. I would love to be in a black-owned facility. You know, we're about practicing what we preach. So so we got some new things that are coming up, and I'm pretty excited about 2015. This is, you know, the third year. It's like the first year we said, okay, we're going to do this. You know, we expected about 800 people. You know, I would have been fine with 800 people. We had over 2,000 people.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, Los Angeles is a interesting market to kind of reach out to because there are so many different communities. It's so diverse, so many things going on at any given time. And, you know, it's not transportation friendly, you know, I mean, in terms of, you know, not having a car. So you have to, for the most part, drive everywhere you go. So so we had a strategy, and we reached out to a lot of the natural groups, and it worked. And then last year, it worked again. So we're, you know, we are really honing in on what worked for us. We're, you know, ask for volunteers if you are in the Los Angeles area. And even if you're not in the Los Angeles area, you know, we are looking to create like a West Coast event. So we mm-hmm. want to start to market, you know, from Seattle to Portland to Las Vegas, San Diego, Phoenix. You know, we want people that are on the West Coast to all, you know, come to Nappywood to meet each other, to network, to do business, to start to, you know, empower, enlarge your business. And we've been seeing a lot of that happening over the couple of years, last couple of years. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, I think Gwen mentioned that, have, you know, we've seen their businesses blossom just for their contacts, you know, and the networking. So that's what we're trying to create. You know, we're trying to empower the community. And I used to call it organization, but I feel like Nappywood is more of a West Coast movement. But like I said, look out for the website that will be coming up in early 2015. But in the meantime, it's LANaturalHairCareExpo.com. And you can get to us. You can send us an email and come directly to myself, Gwen, and you know,
we also have Facebook pages, and we also have a phone number. What's our number? You have our number there?
571-ROOTS-13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 571-ROOTS-13. Yeah. I was obviously going to give you a chance to get that out, too. In addition to that, I still have to complete a blog that I was actually going to make for this show. And I sent you an email, Reggie, to let you know that I was going to, you know, put all those contact numbers on there for you. But at the same time, it's good that you're giving them out, too, so that we know where to go, so to speak. So, yeah.
In case there's somebody who doesn't like to read, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm going to have one more break here, this one is the Nappy Roots Electric Dance version. So I kind of like this one, too. So let's hear this,
yeah, I like,
and then we'll come back and talk
chosen.
Some more. Huh?
I say I like the selections that you've chosen, and as far as from the soundtrack. And, you know, we want to encourage people to come and join us on Facebook. If we get some people... If anybody hears the show and they come and friend us on Facebook and you tell us you heard the show, you know, we'll send you a download of whatever piece of music that you want. So,
That is so generous. Well, let me play this one because I think they would like this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, here's my Nappy Roots, the electric dance version. Hold on, ladies, we'll be right back.
We stand tall like the roots of a blowout. We ball our fists and extend to the sun at the outflow. We lay and flow like the waters on the beach of the Caribbean island in the form of a relaxer. We twist, we lock, we fade. Gaze at the creativity of a people with a rich history, struggle, past, and present. Run your hands through our power, style, and grace. Dazzle at the variations of beauty and form. Revel in the prism and the shade of we. Bask in the luminance of the reflection. Count the colors, length, the sheer definition of variety. Exotic, simple, unique. Flow, trendsetters, originators, transcending the ordinary, set apart from the average, every day. So free, picked from the vineyard, the precious flavor, the ripest of them all, cured and aged to perfection. We are here, we are there. Thank you. out.
My happy room. My happy room.
All our fists and extend to the sun as the asphalt. We trip, we lock, we fade.
My nappy room. My nappy room.
Spread your hands through our power.
My nappy room.
Shalina, do you have anything that you might want to add to the conversation?
I would like to add to always honor yourself, be yourself, and if you want to learn more about your hair, your you know, products that you can use, make sure you leave time out and schedule yourself to be at the next Nappywood Los Angeles Natural Hair Care Expo, and to definitely sign on our Facebook pages to keep updated on different events that we do have here throughout the year. But education is so important to become empowered, because everybody says, oh, you know, they don't know where to go, what to do, but there are resources out there. So reach out to us. We don't mind, you know, sharing. If you want something right away, we don't mind sharing. We gave you our phone number. I'll give it to you again, 571-ROOTS-13. Mm-hmm. Facebook is our Nappywood LA and Los Angeles Natural Hair Care Expo. You can reach us by email, lanaturalhaircareexpo@gmail.com. So be encouraged and be yourself.
All right.
Stay encouraged.
Selena? Well, let's see. Hold on a minute.
Can you hear me?
Get on. Yeah, now I can hear you. Sorry.
Okay. yes, for your educational needs, you can call me at 213, Shalina Allen at 213-91-4472. I can educate you on natural hairstyling, hair growth, how you know, just everything about hair growth and natural hair, and also if you want to know the difference versus extensions versus in natural hair, I can educate you on that. I'm soon to be putting a panel together to discuss that. I'm going to have an open panel where we can discuss that, because there's a lot of controversy there. There's a lot of stimulation that needs to take place before sometimes someone's hair can be at a standstill, and sometimes you would need some extensions to grow out your hair so that you can deal with your natural hair. So we don't want you to be afraid of extensions and are going into natural hair. If you've been in extensions all your life, sometimes you need a break from either or. So I have an academy, Shalina Allen Academy, Advanced Hair Academy, that will be launching in 2015. And you can also log on to ShalinaAllen.com, and I'm on Instagram at Shalina1 and Shalina Allen.
Okay, thank you. I really appreciate it. All right,
thank you,
Ms. Reggie. Your chance.
Okay,
your chance to
Codis, thank you so much. Really appreciate you allowing us to take all this time. And, wow, the time went by quickly. It was like an hour and a half. That's a long time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, initially we think that until we actually start talking, you know. So, yeah.
Right.
I think it was a pretty good discussion, you know, and thank you for helping to, you know, bring these various individuals on who gave us good information.
Well, you're welcome. I really appreciate being here. First, just be sure and reach out to us on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We need your support. We're in this together, and in light
mm-hmm.
of all the situations that are going on in the world, we need to come together. We need to stay connected. So my thoughts are just that for us to embrace who we are as a person, mm-hmm. for us to embrace who we are as a people,
mm-hmm.
and for some of us to start living in purpose, or to continue to live into purpose, and above all, you know, embrace, you know, your nappy roots, embrace who you are, embrace your natural self. So that's it. Thank you so much.
One more thing. You want to give your points of contact information out where people can get in touch with you or your business?
Right, sure. You can reach me at by calling 571-ROOTS-13,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to see what is that number. 571-ROOTS-13. You can also send me a direct email at Regina Kimball at AOL.com. Or you can go to the website and reach myself or reach Gwen. You can reach us directly. Like I said, we're open to talk to anyone about who wants to be involved, who wants to be a part of our the organization, a part of our festival that's coming up next year. And in 2015, we're going to be starting some ongoing education. We have a salon, which is Sun Goddess Salon, which is a natural hair salon in Gardena. We have quite a few of our classes will be coming out of there. That is our Nappywood headquarters. So we're getting a lot of emails. People want to know more. They want to know about how to style children's hair, how to do this. What about transitioning? Or my hair is changing now that I'm, you know, 50 and over. So we're going to have classes that are going to speak to that. So just reach out to us at the, you know, on our website, LANaturalHairCareExpo.com. And you can also reach us. We have plenty of spots there where you can, send an email to us directly, and it'll directly come to us.
All right. I just want to say, Reggie, it has been a pleasure talking to you, and I'm looking forward to more collaboration between us next year, I hope.
Yes. I'm gonna give you a personal invitation to come down to Nappywood and to do your show and some interviews. Bring your show to Southern California.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, I'm gonna take you up on that one.
Okay.
I might meet some of them kinfolk that I've been looking for down there. Anyway.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Okay.
And
maybe you can get on the golf course too, right?
Oh, no, I can't play no golf. You know, all I'm going to say about that is that I remember the comedian say they call it a sport, take away the ball, it'll just be walking. So I ain't going to even that. Well, I'm wishing you and your family much success with future ventures, and thank you again for being on our show, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
Thank you. Peace.
All right. Bye. Okay. We're going to have to get on out of here because that's what we have to do. I want to thank our guest, Reggie Kimball, and everyone who participated in today's show. As always, we meet here at the corner on a bi-monthly basis. I am your host, Cody Sample Second. Just so you and the audience know, we do have a chat room capability here. that among yourselves while you wait for us to get all my stuff. Please join us again on Tuesday, December 24th at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our topic for the next show centers on our children and the true meaning of Christmas. Our special guest, Don and Taylor, and a lady called Faith Suri Turner, who will provide a story of working with children to pursue made a better future. She will also tell you, as a single parent, you made the move south for the betterment of their child. All right, I shall see you. Okay, for now, peace. Thank God tonight for making it such a wonderful day and a more promising tomorrow. Good night.